Boy, oh boy.
It can't be.
Footy Mythbusters.
Now, this is where normally dispel a few myths or we make them true.
Yes.
And I've decided as a sort of a season ender, JB, that this week we would throw the spotlight on each of us here.
I particularly would
shine the spotlight on all of you. So I would like to, first of all, aim squarely in the eyeballs of the King. Wayne Carey.
Yes.
There used to be a show, I think it was on Fox. It was done by Ricky Nixon, who had a lot of shows going at that stage. They were good shows too. This one was called Pig, Jimmy and Roo Boy.
Yes.
Yep. That's true, but that was a radio show. That was here on Triple M.
It was a radio show.
By the way, an award-winning radio show.
Now, I'm not supposed to delve into parties associated with programming.
Where are you going with this?
Because they can get messy. Especially,
Yes.
Yeah.
But this particular party, Pig was Dunstall.
Yes.
Jimmy was Hurdy.
Yes.
And Roo Boy was Roo Boy.
Big names, yes. Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the biggest names.
Yeah, big names. Yeah. And at this particular party, is it true that Jimmy Hurd was, he was a professional and pretty straight, conservative sort of. Bit of an accountant feel to him.
So a boring operator.
No, he's a good man, but he was just straight peg in this particular show.
That's right.
And
you're saying the other two weren't.
He wasn't a big consumer of the alcohol at the post show parties.
Drink responsible.
Yeah, I'm told that as you guys were sort of making sure he hung around for the party and did his due diligence on being sociable with everyone, that he surveyed the room, and because one said duck was standing at the only exit from the property and not allowing anyone to go home, that my information is that Jimmy went to the toilet.
Ooh.
And we all know that in the toilet of any toilet is a window. The window is a small, high window, 300 mil by 300 mil.
Yes. We know what a window is.
And it has the little permanent glass with just a little gap in it so you can get some air.
This industry standard window bed.
Yeah, industry standard window.
So you can get some air.
I'm through a window.
I'm told that one said Jimmy was so desperate to leave the party that he clothed his hand in sorbent toilet paper, smashed the window, and crawled out of the 300 by 300 high toilet window to get away from you, Duck.
How did you get this story?
Is that true?
I know one thing. Unless he's David Copperfield, he had to go out the window because he seriously disappeared.
Just
Bill.
Disappeared.
Disappeared.
A smoke bomb.
And yeah. You're right. Where'd you hear that from? You've been speaking the big pig.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I had the only exit covered, and he went in and he never came out. Yeah. So it was either the window or
so true.
True.
Okay. Now, JB, this is for you now.
Right.
Now I know this can be touchy, and there's no offence meant with this particular sort of item, because this is the top end of your career, and we don't want to embarrass you or anything. But is it true that you had told everyone, all and sundry, that you were about to be presented with a baggy green cap on the back of a phone call from Trevor Holmes, which I am told you misinterpreted. It was a Holmes
Jim.
Call of just a matey sort of call. There was no profession meant in it, but you assumed from the friendliness of the Trevor Holmes call
baggy green
that you were about to get a baggy green. So you quickly and promptly got on to the OD cologne and rung several close friends telling them that you were getting ready for a press conference and about to be presented with a baggy green cap.
Size medium.
Yes.
Now, Jim.
Yes.
Come on, Jim.
Jim, come on.
I don't like to take the air out of the balloon, but the reason I know that's not true, Brian, is because I have never received a phone call from Trevor in my life. Wish I had, but I wasn't good enough to receive that phone call.
Well, that must have been a bit of a myth then. I'm going to make one more phone call and check it out.
I wish it happened, Brian.
Damo, now, Brownlow coming up on Monday night, of course, and Brownlow is where you go and have fun and you celebrate.
Not really. They're pretty boring.
You go have fun, you know.
Celebrate the year.
Celebrate the year, the victory, the marks and goals. And just
good feeling in the room.
Really good night. Everyone's happy with everyone and everyone makes up. Shaky hands, kissy, kissy.
Shaky hands.
Hug, hug.
Players get around other players from other teams. Yep. Coaches mingle.
It's a very friendly coming together of the AFL community.
It usually is.
Night and night.
It usually is.
Except about three quarters of the way through the night. The bubbles start to affect people. The large Crown Lager glasses that they're given at the tables. You're effectively drinking one bottle per glass, and that
they get topped up. You don't know you've finished it, and they just get topped up.
And all of a sudden, the reality of the year comes out. You know, you get away from the friendly approach. And
they remember things.
And they go to the foyer.
A lot of Dutch courage now. Yes. A lot of Dutch courage and a lot of
foyer.
Is it true, Damo, that on one of your, you know, little slides out to the foyer, that on penetrating the foyer and heading to the drip tray, the urinal, that up on...
With the window in the toilet.
Up on, a lot of things happen in toilets, it's strange, but you were just as you're about to enter the said area, a coach of the Western Bulldogs, Luke Beveridge, he came up to you and approached you at a great he closed in at a great rate of knots. He was clearly coming for you, and before you had a chance to even say hello, Luke, he had you pinned to the wall at Crown Casino with the thumb and the second lead finger around the nose, and the left coming up to just clip your chin.
There's a bit of mayonnaise on that, BT, but the origins of it are reasonably accurate.
And were you over the urinal?
Hadn't quite got dropped myself there. Into that, but that little area just before you enter was where it all went down.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was true. You
were true.
So
he throttled you.
There was a confrontation. Did you push him?
No.
Did he push you?
He might have accidentally brushed me, yeah.
Right.
What was that over?
Accidentally.
What was that over? Yeah.
Yeah, it was that period where, well, I have told this a few times, BT. It was that period where he had the Michael Talia player on his list and the Daniel Talia had played for Adelaide. They played in that year's elimination final. Adelaide won.
Yep.
Bevo thought there was an exchange of information, which there was of some sorts. I just happened to cover the story and didn't probably like the coverage of it.
Well, there you go. So that's a tick.
Sort of tick.
Were you scared?
Yep.
Did you have a little trickle?
Lucky he was in the toilet.
Last one, and this is probably the most.
I was scared.
This is probably the most famous of them all, JB, because this has been around for as long as I can remember, and it concerns bouncing Billy Brownless over here.
Oh, fat Brownless, the goal after the siren. Yes, Brian, I did get it.
No, Bill, I was at the snow on that day, and I watched that goal go through. Incredible, the famous story about you, and I just can't believe this that. You actually kicked a footy over the silo at Marul. Now,
I heard this rumor when I was a kid.
I have seen silos. They are tall and big, and I would say nearly impossible to kick a footy
it'd
over.
It'd have to be 100 foot.
Too big
there.
A kick. Hey? 34 meters, 100 foot.
100 solid. Foot high.
High.
So that means it, when you work out the trigonometry of that, You're not just launching up. You've got to go a long way back to get the trajectory to get it over at the maximum height and then have the ball on a downward path.
I never thought about that, Brian. I'd had 26 pots under the belt, Brian.
So you literally walked out of a pub and someone bet you, or what happened?
The Marul pub?
I was on the way to a wedding at West Wylong. Me and two mates from Assumption College on the way, went over the railway line, car hit a bump, spun out of control, dust settles. We're out the front of a pub. So we thought we'll go in and have a beer. So we walk in.
Sporty circuit.
And that's it. We had a couple of pots there and there was a football behind the bar.
Right.
We said, what's the story with that footy, mate? He said about 16 years ago, an Aboriginal boy had come down from Darwin and kicked that footy over the silos across the road. That was 16 years ago. No one's done it. Well, Brian, give us a couple of more froths, and mate, I was off season.
Bit of air in the footy.
There was a couple of kids there playing the pinball machines. Had to go home and get a pump.
Yep.
Pumped up the footy. You've heard this story. Yeah.
Helping him out with his lines.
Helping him out.
And all I had on was a singlet on, shorts on, and bare feet on. If you can have bare feet on.
And he's gone into full cash mode.
Walked over to a little platform, because there's a railway line, a platform, and you're right, you had to kick a drop punt because you had to get the height.
Height, yeah.
Couldn't kick a torp or anything like that. I had the first kick.
You're regarded as a big kick.
Yes, as you all know. First kick went straight over the top. Now there's five kids gathered around the back of the silo, run around the back of the silo. They've got the footy. I go back. I'm the best mates with the public and signing Dunny doors and coasters. And my two mates tried for an hour to do it. They couldn't do it. Andrew Shannon was one, and Andrew Byrne is another one. And then we got a slab of little throwdowns, the VB.
Yeah, the little ones, I remember those.
Grenades.
Yeah, the grenades, yeah.
And we went on our way to a wedding at West Wylong. Oh, luckily, we had an Uber driver at the time.
Yeah, fantastic. Of course, they weren't around then.
Okay, well, that is true, Brian.
BT, I've got one about you.
Oh, yes,
I've got one about you. Okay, after the break.
All right, we're going to do it after the break. Thank goodness for that.
Tease us.
For Holden.
We all know that he's the goal-kicking expert. I want to know where it all started.
Oh, yeah.
Bristol, I've seen vision of that bloody silo. It's as big as a water tank. It's the greatest lot of shit of all time.
A little time. Over there in Perth with your bloody bird in Crown Promenade sucked in.
So it's a little silo. No, little temporary one.
Brian.
Water tank.
It's a water tank.
A water tank.